Here in New York, NASCAR is center stage.
I enjoy doing shows like that.
And is it about the money?
No, I'm just happy we got it done.
I'm Manhattan, Mark Carroll.
And PRN's Garage Fast will be coming up a little bit later in the show.
Here it.
From the racetracks around Australia, here's Inside Motorsport.
Hello, I'm Craig Revell.
I'm Colin Ford.
And I'm Peter Norton. Welcome to this week's episode of Inside Motorsport.
A shaky start to another week, but, well, it hasn't been so shaky for CART. They've actually found some money, perhaps.
Well, perhaps is the big question mark on it. The headline says CART wins $48 million in damages, and that's US million, so it's worth twice as much over here. And, the Champ Car, the governing body, has been awarded $48 million in damages in its breach of contract lawsuit against ISL Marketing Group. Now, the CART website reported that the injunction by the Oakland County Circuit Court after a 10-month legal battle, and under the contract between the two parties, ISL were responsible for seeking sponsors and obligated a guarantee to a predetermined annual sum to CART. Now, CART alleged that ISL failed to pay more than $6 million guaranteed for the 2000 season and did not fulfil its remaining commitments to a 9-year contract that would have gone on until 2006. So they've taken it to court, and yes, the court has very kindly awarded $48 million in damages, but here's the stinger. This company, they failed to perform under the contract because they're broke, they're bankrupt, there's no money. So the $48 million they're not going to collect, but it does put them in a better place in the wind-up of that company. If you get 3 or 4 cents in the dollar, you'd prefer to have 3 or 4 cents of $48 million than 3 or 4 cents of $5 or $6 million.
So I guess one of the things when a management company goes sour, because management is all in the people and you can't really take it off them, the desks, computers and telephones, which are probably owned by the telephone company anyway, are not worth much to you.
Yes, that's right. So while there was a looked good for CART, on closer inspection, CART continued to battle both in the boardrooms, in the courtrooms, and be a couple of months till we see him back on the track for next year.
It will indeed. Now, before we go back to America, I might let you know, Audi have said they will be back at Le Mans 24-hour race in 2002, an attempt to become only the third team to win the event 3 years in a row. Of course, Silkcut Jaguars have done it, and Porsche are the two previous successes. In Formula One, Arrows became the final team to finalise their tyre choices for 2002 as the battle hots up between Bridgestone and Michelin. And McLaren, they are going mad for their future whilst they unveil a £200 million, so that's $400 million Australian dollars.
No, $600.
$600 million Australian dollars.
£3 for the quid.
Yeah, well, their space-age new factory will leave everyone aghast, and they are looking good for next season, they hope, with, of course, Kimi Räikkönen joining the team, who did a fantastic job at, was it Sauber?
Yeah, pretty surprising there. Going into this season, a lot of people thought this guy's too young, doesn't have enough experience, and they questioned whether he should get a Formula One licence at all, but he really did prove the doubters wrong and put in quite a credible performance there.
Now, of course, Rally's Ford, Rally's head engineer, Gunther Steiner, has looked at a new managing, has been appointed the new managing director of Jaguar Racing, so a change there, but obviously the Ford program, although they didn't win the manufacturer or driver's champion this year, is certainly on a great keel and should be very hotly contesting the championship in season 2002.
Yes, that's right. I love the Ford Rally program. We got such characters in their drivers, Colin McRae and Saints. It was very good that they could re-sign them for next year. Plenty of character, plenty of excitement, plenty of crashes. If you don't win the rallies, you might as well be the prince of the media, like these guys are.
And Gunther Steiner moving over to Jaguar, replacing, well, I don't know if he's actually replacing Bobby Rahal or whether he's stepping in above Niki Lauda, but as we've seen, Niki Lauda is not one man to get on the wrong side of. Ferrari used him for a few years until they saw how much trouble he can cause in an organisation. And it will be interesting to see how Jaguar pans out. Of course, one thing that has been a interesting comment is Craig Pollock, of course, in charge of British American Racing. He says that that Formula One needs a reality check to prevent a cash crisis. Now, as we know, cigarette money is going to be very hard to come by. In fact, it won't be able to be used in the very near future, and Pollock is quite worried about the future of Formula One in its current hand-over-fist money-grabbing tactics.
Yes, that's right. The world economy slowed down. There's less money for these things, and we've spoken about it here before, about no sponsor for Bathurst. And, you know, that type of thing is also happening at the very top level in Formula One. Sponsors are harder to get. But quite interesting, though, one guy who's always battled with sponsors has been Mark Larcombe in the V8 Supercars. He's got a sponsor for next year. Great to report. A steel tubing company, Oricon, I think is how you pronounce it. They'll be on his car for next year. So good to see Mark Larcombe. Hopefully back on the upward curve again.
And it's interesting, we did have Tony Quinn last week telling us that he has signed a new deal, sponsorship deal, at VIP Pet Foods with a supercar team. But as yet, we haven't found out quite who is the driver. Maybe HRT will have a 6th and 7th car in their driving ranks next year.
Yes, that's right. And, of course, the V8 supercars were racing this weekend at Sandown, and later in the show we'll have a quite comprehensive report and chat to a few of the drivers.
We will indeed, including winner today, Todd Kelly. You'll hear from championship winner Mark Scaife, also from Marcus Ambrose. And we also get an interesting point of view from Mike Raymond, who's taken, of course, the promoter's job at Parramatta City Raceway, but he also, of course, has such long links with the 7 Network. And in that Speedway interview that I have done with him, we have got a few questions about his thoughts on Channel 10, and as he was the father of the V8 supercar era, bringing a lot of people along when they didn't want to move in that direction, he certainly has got every right to have an opinion.
Yes, it'll be interesting to listen to that one. Does he comment at all how the World Series sprint cars aren't going to Parramatta?
Yes, he does, and that will be revealed a little bit later on in the show.
The World Rally Championship, Greg Strange from the Rally of Great Britain, which is the deciding rally of this year's World Rally Championship.
2 years a runner-up, and too often Britain's invisible man in a world dominated by Colin McRae, Burns earned his glittering prize like a champion. He measured his progress perfectly through wraparound Welsh rain, mixing caution with the confidence of a 3-times winner of the event. He didn't win a stage because he didn't need to once Mackinnon and McRae had written themselves out of the plot on Friday morning. Burns' achievement is all the more impressive because back in July, with more than half the season gone, he was drifting 25 points off the lead. Now he leaves Subaru, the team which took him to the British title 8 years ago, to join the world champion team, Peugeot, for whom Marcus Gronholm scored his 3rd win of the year here in Wales.
It was great coming into this rally. There was a massive amount of pressure and hype and all of those things associated with trying to win a world championship. And to get out at the end of 3 days and to be at the top was the best feeling.
Tell us about Margan. What was it like when you drove in?
Well, there were a few of my close friends there, a few of my family, and just the relief.
Yeah, I did hang already.
Hey, Richard.
The relief was awesome.
This is a combination of how many years for it?
One of the best days of my life, a combination of a dream come true.
I must be very proud of you, boy.
He's wonderful.
Harry Rovanpera made it a Peugeot 1-2. Alistair McRae came in 4th. Too little, too late to help his brother, though.
Well, you've heard what Richard Burns and his mother thought in that report. Now, what about his co-driver, Robert Reed?
Great feeling, and it's really strange because it's a mixture between elation and just relief. It's been quite tense the last few days, and, you know, almost once Colin went out, all we could do was make a mistake and lose it. So we managed not to, and it's a really great feeling.
The newly crowned World Rally Champion, Richard Burns. What team will he go to next year? Will it be Peugeot or Subaru? Greg Strange from the BBC gave us this update about where things stand.
Burns has signed a contract worth a reported £9 million over 2 years with Peugeot, and they expect him to drive for them next season. But his existing team, Subaru, say they've paid Burns to drive for them during 2001 and 2002, and they're not giving up the new world champion that lightly. All sides are staying tight-lipped. Peugeot are saying nothing. Burns' personal management are saying a strict no comment. And Subaru say they'll speak when they have something to say. But the teams must submit the names of their nominated drivers to the FIA by midnight tonight or face a considerable surcharge. So expect a decision today, or even the extraordinary possibility that both teams could submit Burns' name, causing chaos just weeks ahead of the opening round of next season in Monte Carlo.
This weekend was the final round of the, it's not the Australian Touring Car Championship, but next year it might be, because unfortunately Shell have decided not to continue their sponsorship of the V8 supercars.
Well, not as the major sponsor, no. They are now the official fuel with the Optimax. They're going to push the fuel. They're still a sponsor. They're still one of the premium or major sponsors, as along with Monroe and VB and all those guys. But no, they're not the naming rights, and there's going to be no announcement of naming rights until probably February next year. I had a talk with Tony Cochran, and he basically said, well, I mean, they're talking to a few people, but obviously nothing's nailed down at the moment, and they're not expecting to have an announcement until mid to late February. So it's a sucker and see on that regard. But yes, Shell, after 15 years, are no longer the sponsor of the championship. So it's the something championship series next year, or they may even change the name of it, depending on what the sponsor wants.
Yes, that's right. And a lot of cynical people would be having a field day about this and how there was no naming rights sponsor for Bathurst. But let's put that to one side for a moment and talk about the racing, because it was a great weekend's racing down there at a rather wet and miserable sand down there today.
Well, yes, wet today. It was sunny yesterday. And yesterday they obviously had the top 10 shootout because qualifying was on Friday. They also had race one. And basically it was nice, you know, talking about weather. They you know, good journalists never start stories with a weather report, but hey, it was raining today. As I said, yesterday it was nice and sunny, but today it was just wet, and it was a drizzle all day. And in fact, they started the second race in front of the pace car, and for the people that have already watched it on television, they'd see that it wasn't a standing start. They were single file around the pace car, did about two or three laps, and then let them go. And it was probably, I would say, the third race today. It was the best race. I mean, there was a lot happening. There's even HRT stuffed up their pit stop, and it was just incredible. Just all these things are happening. Guys were going off. Lowndes went off about two or three times, and he still came off to win the race. There was a bit of shenanigans when he was passing Ambrose, and these guys are both Ford drivers. And I actually got a Guernsey to the Ford corporate area this weekend, so I'm feeling pretty good. But I tell you what, there was a bit of emotion flying around in there, and like, oh no, don't take each other off. So it was all happening, and it's still raining, but yeah, oh no, the sun's come out. Yeah, that's Melbourne for you anyway.
Yes, 5 minutes later and the weather all changes in Melbourne. You mentioned Marcus Ambrose. Now, he had a few words to say about the rolling start.
There was a safety concern. A lot of drivers, what happened before the last touring car race, or the last race today, race three, there was a lot of front straight incidents. There was cars just going down the track, aquaplaning and bouncing off the Armcos. The Formula 4 race didn't even get past turn one. There was a massive shunt at the start, took out about seven or eight cars. There's cars piled on top of each other, and they didn't have the race. Dead set. So there was obviously a safety issue. Obviously, there was a concern there because of this issue, and so they decided to go under the pace car. I mean, certain drivers were saying that they shouldn't have it, or they should, you know, either red flag it or keep it under safety cars for a while. But I didn't think the rain was that bad. I mean, sure, there was a bit of a breeze, so it was drying, but there was obviously constant drizzle, so it was still staying wet. In fact, it got worse during the race, because the race actually started when there was no drizzle at all, but the drizzle started during the race, and that's basically how it was for the whole race.
Yes, some very mixed opinions there. Let's just cross now to Marcus Ambrose and find out what his thoughts were.
Definitely, it's good timing to bring a new tyre in. I've had 12 months experience now and have a clear direction on what I want for my car, and the team seem to understand that too, so that's great. I think the Dunlop tyre is going to be very interesting next year. It's going to be a big test on every team to tune the tyre to the car. I'm not sure when we're going to get the tyre, so you know, that could make it even harder again if we don't get it before you know, very long before the Grand Prix. So really, you know, as far as my Challenge 2002 stand, you know, I think I'd have as good a chance on a Bridgestone as a Dunlop. You know, we just got to make sure that we do our homework before we get the tyre, and when we get the tyre, make sure that we test properly.
And of course, winner overall was the young fellow from Kmart Racing, Todd Kelly. A pretty very consistent and trouble-free drive for him today, Neville.
Well, yeah, and it was interesting. He kept his nose clean. Lowndes tried to pass him several times, and several times he went off into the dirt trying to pass him, and then he clambered back up and took it pretty easy. But, you know, he had some concerns, and it was a very good drive. I mean, and let's face it, the Kmart team, they were definitely in the hunt today, and the HRT team weren't. And basically it was HRT, or the drivers, the problems that they had that put them out earlier on in this race.
Yes, I think it's a real credit to the Holden factory and their youth policy. I mean, a lot has been said about Ford's youth policy, but Holden really been in there earlier. They grabbed Craig Lowndes when he was a young fella, and now with their nurturing of the Kelly boys, and it's really starting to pay off. These are young drivers who are very level-headed and starting to put in some great results.
Well, that's right. I mean, Todd, he was just couldn't beat him in the second race. I mean, the guy was like 30 seconds ahead. Even if he went off and had a spin, he'd still get on and still win the race. It was just, mate, I thought, what happened here? Has he done it? I thought he hadn't done a pit stop, but he had. And he was just like unbeatable. And that basically set up his win for the weekend, was that first race, that's first race today, second race overall. And I just thought it was just one of the best drives I've seen for a long time. He's really good in the wet, and I'd have to say, you know, get worried anybody when it rains, because Todd Kelly's going to be up the front.
Todd Kelly, congratulations, a fantastic win over the weekend. I guess when you came into this Kmart team, you just didn't know where you might end up, but at the front at the end of the season gives you a good run into 2002.
Oh, it certainly does. You know, as most people know, at the start of the year, it was a totally new team. So we had 15 new guys, and it's pretty hard to get 15 guys that don't know each other to work like a well-oiled machine, which you need to do. But, you know, they've all come together really well. In the second half of the year, they've come on strong. And we, you know, everybody's done a good job, and we're looking forward to next year.
The conditions at Sandown this weekend were very, very fluky, and of course, in the wet, what did you think? Every time Lowndes went past you, you managed to get him behind you once again.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a pretty tricky situation, because we knew if he finished in front of us, we would have still won the round. So, you know, it wasn't really worrying me that he was passing me. You know, every time he caught me, I sort of basically let him through. Even, you know, the last time I backed off up the back straight and let him back through, you know, because we didn't want him taking us out, because he would have ruined the weekend. So, yeah, we, you know, basically played it safe and ended up in a good spot.
Obviously, yourself and Greg Murphy now with two wins from your last two at-bats is giving the team a lot of confidence. Have you already committed to season 2002 with the Kmart Racing team?
Yep, well, at the moment, and for next year, everything's exactly the same as it is, which is good, because we really don't want to go through what we did at the start of this year. So basically how we've left this last round is how we're starting next year. So, you know, from the word go next year, we should be pretty strong.
Todd Kelly, congratulations, a fantastic performance today, and all the best for a safe and happy Christmas.
Thank you.
I think maybe the psychological victor for the weekend was Craig Lowndes. He definitely had most of the fans on the edge of their seats watching, because he was pretty exciting. It started in the top 15 shootout, where he only qualified, I think, 14th, because he nearly stuck it off in a big way. But he was exciting all weekend.
Well, yeah, he was. He was a bit all over the place. He had a few offs, and he had enough offs. He reckoned he'd probably done a lap in the grass. But this Casey was the same. But Lowndes, I mean, and like I said, it was a very popular win. It was interesting to be standing down there in the crowd, and the win, they were loving Craig. They were cheering and carrying on. It's Ford country here at Sandown, and it was proved last year. They were very excited here when Radicich won last year. But Craig looks so calm and so cool in the car, even when he was going off and gathering it back up. I mean, he was going off at all his credit. He held it together. He didn't loop it. He just got into the grass and lost traction and stuff like that. He did make two pit stops, as you'll see in the telecast. He got dirt in the radiator or in the intake, and he had to get that taken out of the car, but that was during a safety car period. So
Yeah, he come back out of that, so I reckon it was one of the best races all season. But the wet's always like that. I was talking to someone before the race. The wet, I mean, the wet always makes an interesting race. But it's always when there's been rain here in Sandown, it's always been interesting.
Yes, it sort of adds a bit of credence to the people who are arguing these cars should reduce the wing sizes, they should reduce the reliance on data logging and the scientific side of the sport, and let the natural talent and flair of some of these guys take over. It's much more interesting racing, and I think we see that when it rains.
Well, obviously, I mean, rain's a bit of a leveller. It makes more of a level racing playing field. A lot of the technology just goes right out the window when it rains, and in the end, the better driver comes out on top.
Now, just for a moment though, we've now seen Lowndes for his first year in a Ford, started the season very strongly at Phillip Island on the podium, and now finishes the year very strongly, but in Neville Wilkinson's opinion, how would you rate his year?
Been a learning year, and a lot, I'm sure some of the dramas that he's had this year, especially in mid to late year, and part of it was his Bathurst, may not have been Craig Lowndes induced. It could have been challenges within the team. Obviously, everybody's been reading in the press a lot lately about what Gibson's doing and stuff like that, and stuff like that isn't good for the workings of a team. But, you know, Craig, I think he's overdriven the car sometimes. And a lot of people out there who know about motorsport know that if you overdrive a car, you don't go any faster, you actually go slower. And I think that Craig's just been trying to get too much out of the car, and it hasn't helped at all. But I reckon the result this weekend was very good. Craig did qualify well. The top 15 shit-out wasn't so good, but, you know, we all saw that how he got it a bit sideways, and that was paid... put the end to that lap. And there's been a bit of talk, should they have top 15 shootouts and stuff like that? How good are they? Are they good for the spectators here? Should they have an all-in top 10 shootout where they don't just do one lap, but they let all 10 of them go out for a 15-minute session and let them do as many laps? There's all that kind of stuff. But getting back to Craig, I think it's a good learning year. I think next year you're going to see him come on bigger and better. The team's going to come get bigger and better, and in my personal opinion, I think that with Seaton now saying that he's going to a single car, or it looks like that's the way it's going to go, with Stephen Richards no longer driving for the team, that it looks like the Craig Lowndes team could end up being the official Ford factory-backed team, and you could see it being the Ford equivalent of Holden's HRT. So, I mean, that remains to be seen, but that's the way it's shaping up, and there's an air of expectancy there that people think that that's what's going to happen.
Yes, I have to agree with that. Glenn Seaton's had a pretty forgettable year, and it really capped off this weekend with another miserable result, ending up in the sandpit.
He nearly rolled it in the sand trap. I mean, it was just... there. This wasn't the best weekend for him. And but I don't know if it's the best move for him to go to one car. A lot of people say, well, if he goes to one car, he's going to virtually, what could you say, fall into a crack in the pavement. I mean, is it a good move to go to one car? Does that distill confidence in sponsors for the future? Or is this the end of Glenn Seaton? I mean, I don't think it's the end of Glenn Seaton, but... You never know. Is it a backward step or a forward step?
With a lot of the focus these days on the data logging, collecting all your information from testing and getting the most out of the limited testing opportunities, having one car has to be a disadvantage. And I understand there was a bit of talk there today. Of course, the leaders in having the most cars out on a testing day is the Tom Walkinshaw Racing with HRT and Kmart. And I understand that...
And the Holden Young Lions, it's five.
Yes, they've got really... They nearly have enough cars for a series just by themselves. And we caught up with Mark Scaife to find out what his thoughts were with the impact of Kmart Racing.
Well, I think the reality of it is, Steve, that it's harder to win each year based on the level of competition right now. You know, Ford this year put a lot more effort into it, as we can see right here today. It hasn't been just the sort of the two... new Ford recruits, but you know, all those have been very competitive all year, and Steve, and at times Glenn Seaton and stuff. So you know, I think the whole effort has made us lift our game. We've had a tough year in terms of our team with extra cars, and we've come out the end of it with a win. And you know, when you think about the number of round winners and the sort of level of competition, like a Bathurst, It's been one of the best seasons of motor racing, and to be able to win it in that year is very rewarding. I think it's been one of the best years of my career.
Now, one of the, surprise packets for the year from Ford has been Marcus Ambrose, and he capped off a very fine season with third place overall here today. How do you rate his year so far?
Extraordinary. I just think this guy is going to be a huge star of the future. I mean, he's got into these cars and he's been fast straight away. And that's the Stone Brothers car, they're fast. But the thing about it is he's done it on tracks he's never driven on. He's driven on from maybe half a track, but there's other tracks he's qualified on pole or he's been up the pointy end, and he has just, he's never been here before. So the guy is just, he's a talent, and he is going to be a star, and Ford better hold on to him because, I tell you, he's going to go places.
Yes, I was very pleased to see Ford sign him up for a five-year deal earlier in the season. Of course, he started a little bit rough, a little bit inconsistent, and got into trouble with stewards a little bit. But just, out of the box, he was so fast. Many pole positions, we saw that at Bathurst. And a bit more maturity, a bit more knowledge of these tracks. I agree with you, Neville. He's going to be a fantastic star of the future. And, Ford fans will be very pleased that he's on the blue and white side.
Definitely. The Biffy and Barging thing, Russell Ingall had the same problem when he came into the series from Europe, and it took a season or a season and a half to calm him down. Marcus seems to have taken it in his stride. I wouldn't say he's a lot cleaner. There doesn't seem to be that much shenanigans happening, but I'd like to see a bit of Biff and Bart as a personal thing. There's the old adage, rubbing his race in a bit, but I'd like to see him get into it and start a bit of clashing here and there. I think it's good for the sport. If everybody's trying to not touch each other because they're too afraid of a stop-go penalty, well, that's just no fun.
I have to agree with you there. Throughout the year, we did see some of the hassles with stewards, and they came up to be consistent and firm.
It got a bit ridiculous, didn't it?
It got a bit boring. Really, the fans really demand some action on the racetrack. And people like Ambrose and also Lowndes, one of the most memorable races for me was in the Canberra 400 race, where these guys in a reverse grid race, fought through the whole field. And something that we all thought was impossible in Canberra.
Well, that's the thing. See, a lot of drivers said, this is no good, but hey, it was great for the fans, and the spectators this weekend didn't go home disappointed either. The race today was great. There was Biff and Barge, and there was a bit of sliding and a bit of clashing, and there was one incident where between Ellery and Brad Jones. Supposedly Brad Jones, what we could see from the monitors was Brad Jones was doing a passing move on Ellery, and either Ellery's got sideways or Brad Jones has got into the side of him, and he's sideways coming out of turn one. Well, Ellery then got into the back of Brad Jones and shoveled him off the track in turn two, just served him up, pushed him into the grass. Now, I don't know whether there's a steward cheering over. I'm sure there's a couple of protests this weekend, there always is, but I don't know what the outcome of that will be. But, there was just all that happening.
Now, one of the outcomes that we were looking with interest coming into this weekend was the battle for second position in the championship. Three drivers were a chance, but we've had two of them walk away pretty disappointed, I think.
Well, in the end, Murphy kind of fizzled today. Johnson, Russell had problems. There's a lot of teams had problems. I think a lot of guys this weekend was like, we're going for it. But there was just a lot of problems. There's a few blown engines. But Murphy, he was fine until the third race when he was still travelling okay, and then he just went off the track. He's either got dirt somewhere or whatever, and then he's retired from the race. And it's just been that kind of weekend for most of the drivers. And the guys who were consistent this weekend, especially with the rain, are the guys that come out on top, because basically that's all you had to do is stay on the track.
Yeah, I was particularly pleased to see Russell Ingall take out the second place in the championship, because it really is a good reward for what I see as the new Russell Ingall. We can park the Enforcer nickname, because it was a much more sensible year from him this year, and I don't think he paid a single fine to the stewards.
Yeah, well, he said that. He said, I'm going on holidays this year. He said in an earlier press conference during the weekend, he said that, we're going on holidays, because I didn't give Cams 1 cent, and I can afford to go on holiday, so that was funny. I mean, Russell's been here before. I think he's been here before, and so he knows what it's like, but he wants to go to the next step. And this has brought up the issue of should team owners be drivers, and taking that a step further, should Larry retire and make Russell the number one driver? I mean, he basically is the number one driver, but should Larry retire and put a younger guy in the car?
What are the rumours there this weekend about Larry Perkins in
the
future?
No, the rumours have been going around since New Zealand, but no, there's nothing concrete about it. I mean, is Larry going to retire? That's the question. If Larry retires, then some things will happen. If Larry retires, it's kind of a silly season will start. I mean, there is a silly season going along in the underground now. I mean, the hot poo on John Bow is that he's going to go to the Aussie Mail team with Brad Jones. I mean, that's my guess, and I'll put some money on that's going to happen. And if it happens, then you can everybody can say, well, I know where they heard that first for sure. I reckon that's definitely going to happen. I mean, it's just on the cards. You see. I mean, I saw John Bow in the Aussie Mail pits this week and watched yesterday's race on Saturday, the race won. So it's, you know, there's just so many things, and if I was a betting man, I'd put money on it.
Yes, it seems to be the smart money that is John Bow will go to Aussie Mail, because Aussie Mail have already indicated that they planned on growing. Was supposed to be a car in the Konica series, but if they can scrape together some more money, it makes sense that...
That's the thing. I mean, I was talking to the PR guy, so to speak, the spin doctor of the team, and what it comes down to, I mean, he didn't say it was John Bower, he said there was actually three drivers vying for it, and then even Stephen Richards' name come up as well. But it's just that they've got to get the approval for the budget for a second car. And I think they've gone to Aussie Mail and a few others and said, hey, we want to do a second car. This is the drivers we've got to choose from. Is there a chance? Are we going to get the budget? And I think, as far as I'm led to believe, they're going to probably find out this week sometime, probably later in the week, whether the budget's going to come through. And if it does, bang, they've got a second car. And the word is they're going to announce what they're doing on the 12th of December.
Yes,
and I don't think it's going to come any earlier.
It's amazing what an excellent result at Bathurst can do. All of a sudden, you're a much better a product to sell to sponsors, and hopefully something can come out of it. Now, a lot of teams have been talking about growing extra cars and recruiting drivers, and that's really fueled a lot of the silly season. But do you think some people are perhaps overly optimistic, considering that Avesco of having such a hard time selling naming rights to some of these races, and there's not a lot of corporate money out there?
Well, okay, they had trouble selling naming rights to Bathurst, but that's not Avesco, that's IMG. The Avesco naming rights for the championship, that's a different story. I mean, they've never had to chase the naming rights sponsor for the championship before. And there's a lot of conjecture on how much it's worth. I mean, but I can tell you, sponsorship... The naming rights of the series is a lot of money. We're talking high million, it could be as high as $10 million to sponsor it. That's some of the figures that are going around. I mean, you look at the coverage, you look at the Bathurst alone, I'm hearing, and I don't know the figures, so you guys might want to check on this, but I'm hearing that the overall crowd around Australia, there were more people watched Bathurst and watched the AFL Grand Final. I mean, if that's the case, that's some big dollars. So you're not going to pay peanuts for that.
Yeah, I'd want to check the stats on that one. That one's hard to believe.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I mean, that was the party line, so to speak. So, I could imagine that this, you know, the AFL has certain areas in Australia that are align to Aussie rules, but... You know, you got to admit that V8 Supercars has a broad appeal across Australia, and ultimately it is a truly national sport, though people saying they should go to Tassie.
But then AFL is their national sport and they don't go to Tassie or the Northern Territory.
Yeah, a lot of our listeners in Canberra will be very cynical about the V8 guys and the way they use their statistics to pump up the numbers that really aren't there. But, yeah, we'll be a little bit cynical about some of the TV figures. For my opinion...
Well, the TV figures, I don't think Channel 10 pump their figures, and you can actually get on the website for Avesco, the V8 Supercar website, and if you're the media and you've got the right passwords to get in, you can actually check out the figures on the TV ratings. But I haven't had time to do that, so I can't verify whether more people watch Bathurst or watch the AFL Grand Final.
Yeah, we'll check into that one and we'll let our listeners know.
That could be interesting.
It'd be good for bragging rights and good for a bet down the pub, that one. But let's talk a little bit about next year and some pretty exciting things happening. First of all, a bit of a rethink about the point system.
Definitely. They've got points going now down only in the top 15, with the points weighted heavily at, for lack of a better term, the pointy end of the field. So they haven't given us the exact point breakdown. I've been given a press kit, but I haven't had time to actually look at it and go through it and analyse it. But they don't go all the way down to last place anymore. They only go down to 15. They're also going to have points for the, I think it's the top six. Don't take this as gospel. I think it's the top six in the top 10 / top 15 shootouts. So that could obviously have a sway in the end results for the year as well. So depending on how well you do in the shootout. There's some people saying they should get rid of the shootout, maybe just have it at Bathurst and just go for more qualifying, because qualifying seems to be more exciting to watch. But we'll see. We'll see. The points may change things.
Yes, we'll watch the points with interest. Also, new for next year will be a shift to Dunlop tyres. What are your thoughts on that one?
I think it's great. Nothing against Bridgestone. I think it's great in regards to it's put everybody at square one. Now, some people are going to move off square one a lot quicker than others, and obviously one of those things is going to be HRT, because they're going to throw a lot of money at testing and figuring out about these Dunlop tyres. But they're also saying that each car or each team gets a certain amount of tyres to test with. I'm not too sure how many that is, but they're obviously going to get some new tyres to test with. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a very interesting the first couple of rounds next year as people get a handle on these tyres and figure it out. Obviously, people are saying that the teams that had Dunlop in the past may have an advantage, but also these people also said that, well, not really, because these tyres are totally different and they're nothing like the Dunlops of old. So it will remain to be seen, but I think it would just add a bit more. It's another element that's going to add more spice to the championship next year.
Now, another change for next year for Canberra race fans is that the local race here was previously known as the GMC 400, doesn't have GMC attached to it, and they would have been watching the TV with interest seeing very large GMC signs there. How large was the GMC profile at the meeting there this weekend?
There was some signage, but that was about it. They weren't a naming rights of the series. Obviously, it would have been called the GMC, of the Ultimate GMC, whatever. But it was just signage.
Yes, a few people might be cynical about how IMG was signed up as to help the Canberra event in selling sponsorship, and all of a sudden the Canberra sponsor turns up on an event that's promoted by IMG.
Yeah, no, I think that was all hyped out. I mean, GMC's home base is in Melbourne, and obviously their association with IMG, IMG has gone and approached and said, look, do you want to have an involvement at Sandown as well? I mean, and that's IMG. I mean, IMG are going to try and get as much out of sponsorship and signage from events as they can. And if you're on their books as a sponsor at one event, they're going to come knocking on your door and ask you to pay money for another event as well. And I just think that's where that's at. They obviously weren't a naming rights. In fact, Ford and Holden had more signage than GMC. It wasn't a lot, but you could see their name at a couple of places around the venue.
Now, if listeners want to get a bit more information on things like the point scores for next year and a lot of the silly season, there's a website they can go to, isn't there, Neville?
Yeah, there's a website I heard. It's called
www.v8x.com.au, and I'll hear it's a damn good website and great radio on it as well.
That's right. I've heard it's fantastic. And actually, on quite independent chat rooms and stuff like that, V8X, the website and the magazine, are actually getting a few decent write-ups there. So I think it's something your team can be quite proud of. Now, when's the next magazine? Do we get something to read over Christmas and New Year?
You certainly do. Yes, we've the next magazine's the January-February issue, but we've brought it, not quite 2 weeks, but we've brought it ahead, and it's going to be on the shelves, the 20th nationally, and in some places it's going to be earlier than this because of this 21st of December nationally. Before Christmas, we want to have it on sale for the Christmas New Year holiday break. For all the punters out there that are like, okay, well, I've had a couple of days off, I'm getting a bit bored, let's go down to the newsagent and see what there is to read. Well, there is going to be a brand new V8X out there for everybody to have a good read.
Yes, and I think there's only one thing better than the Christmas issue of V8X, and that is to get a Christmas present, which is a 12-month subscription.
Well, of course, and you can get that through a magazine or on that fabulous website we've just talked about. Yes, I mean, we've just started actively selling subscriptions in the mag, the last two issues. We wanted to make sure that we were going to be around for the long term before we actually started actively taking subscriptions, and we feel that that's all in place now. And yeah, they would make a fantastic Christmas present if you ask me.
Yes, well, Neville Wilkinson, thank you very much for all your reports this year. It's been a fantastic year for the V8 fans, and we look forward to further reports and all the updates from you for the future. Now, and of course, we're really quite jealous that you get to go to all of these race meetings and you don't have to rely on the TV coverage, which in this weekend you had the rain to contend with, but you had the corporate hospitality, and you didn't have to rely on Channel 10, which was a little bit average this weekend, mate.
Well, yes, well, I must admit I did. How lucky was I getting corporate for this weekend with the rain? I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better opportunity, and I really do have to thank Ford for looking after me. They seem to be pretty proactive, and just on a note, I mean, Holden are very active within their promotions and stuff like that, but Ford seem to have stepped up to the plate and are definitely trying to match Holden. Now, Holden, I think, still have a bit of the high ground, but Holden and HRT have had 5-10 years of doing this. And Ford have a lot of ground, and talking to the Ford people, they're going to keep up their promotions for next year, so all you Ford fans rejoice, because they're not going to back off. They're actually going to come at it bigger and better for 2002.
Yes, that's right. 2001 is wrapped up, but the Ford and Holden battle will continue next year. Neville Wilkinson, thanks very much.
Not a problem.
And talking about Speedway, Craig Revell caught up with Mike Raymond and chatted to him and asked about what it's like to return to the promoter's chair.
Mike Raymond, probably safe to say that you're back in a position now that you really do enjoy, that is looking after a speedway, particularly here in the western suburbs.
I think anyone, if you can change the direction of a place, and it's a bit of a challenge, everyone likes that, and I think that what has happened here is there has been a major a change of direction for the speedway in Sydney. There's been a lot of money spent in making that change in corporate, reading what corporate Australia wants and also what the competitors want. And I think that sort of thing, I'm not here for a long time. I'm here just to get a good handle on what needs to be done and then hand it on to someone else to do. That was the bottom line of it.
For your background, you grew up loving Speedway back when it was at the showground and the sports ground in the halcyon days. Mm. What then drove you to becoming a promoter when you did get involved at Liverpool Raceway?
Probably goes to show that I was an idiot. I think that, once you've been connected with it and you've had the opportunity to bring some of the best drivers to Australia, and we've looked back and seen that that hasn't happened in the last couple of years, and we only missed only the events of the September in the United States have prevented us this year from having Tony Stewart back, because his car owner doesn't want him out of the US, but he was to be here for the 15th and the 22nd of December. But we have Steve Kinser coming, and he's a 16 times World of Outlaws champion. He's the very best driver, and he comes to Australia with his own equipment, and you can't do any better than that. I mean, you can bring American drivers who drive local equipment, but But Steve Kinser does everything first class. It costs a lot of money to get him here, but the directors have gone along with that. And we have an exclusive run of meetings here from the 26th of December through until the 4th and 5th of January.
You've pulled off a lot of great promotions in your time back at Liverpool. You had two Indy 500 champions racing midgets at Liverpool, which doesn't get much credit nowadays, but to have the Indy 500 winner racing at your racetracks, and of course with motorsport moving on now, bringing people like Kinser who are the best of the division, is obviously the equivalent.
Well, if you think about it, here at Parramatta, Jeff Gordon, who has won this year's Winston Cup Series, raced as a young man for Dennis Farr in his car. We've had Tony Stewart, who has been in the Indianapolis 500, as second this year in points in the Winston Cup Series. I believe we'll win the Winston Cup in the next couple of years, and we'll probably make a return to open wheel racing after that. He's probably the next best driver that you can get outside of Danny Lasoski, and we're quite confident we'll have all those drivers here at Parramatta within the next 12 months.
Coming back to Parramatta, there is a lot of things that you notice when you come to Parramatta for the first time this year. Perhaps you could just run through some of the improvements for the spectators.
Well, I think for the spectators, one of the things that that we have done is we've been able to access just on 12,000 seats that came out of the Stadium Australia. At the ends of the stadium, that will go into seating here over the next 12 months. All the pit area has been paved, all the walkways around the racetrack have been paved and concreted. We believe those in corporate Australia who go to their boxes or their suites now, they're all been air conditioned. We'd like to think that things are kept pretty clean, and the place, Speedway, has a terrible reputation of watching it Monday to Friday in daylight hours. And if you can have a speedway that people walk into and look at it and it's clean and they say, hey, it doesn't look too bad, well, you're doing something right.
I guess in the time that you've been away from full-time promoting, you've been helping out other promoters and doing other things. The cut and thrust of being involved, and obviously this year you've been set about getting the drivers and keeping the drivers here to other series that move around the country by installing the driver to the World of Outlaws series.
We're very mindful of the fact that sprint car racing, if any sport is to have legitimacy, you have to have regulars here on a weekly basis. To support World Series, that's fine, or a different name would even be better, maybe Australian Series. Calling it a World Series when you start off with just a couple of Americans, and it's not really entirely a World Series. But anyway, be that as it may, I believe that we have the best sprint car racing anywhere in Australia. And I spoke this week to Con Migro, who's just promoted two rounds of the World of the World of whatever it's called series in Perth, and lost money. And he said, we had a terrific race the last 2 weeks. We've had Donnie Schatz and another Australian driver, Max Dumsny, side by side for 20 laps. And they started off the front. And I said, Con, we have the same thing, but the winner is not known until one lap to go. And that, I think, is Australians have been brought up on speedway racing where the fast starts last. And that's what happens here. And the people who stay behind get in match races. And we've lifted the prize money to $2,000 to win a feature race. $5,000 if you win against Kinser, $50,000 if you win against Kinser on the 5th of January, and plus the Australian Championship. I don't know if we have to do much more. I think we have thrown our hat into the ring, and we've done it with money and legitimacy, and everyone who wants to race here, races here. Those who don't, go away. And so far, you know, it's pretty tough for them. They've got a lot of travelling to do. But we can't close, and we have absolutely no intention of closing our doors. While a series is away.
There's a saying in the industry, you probably know it, whatever Mike's promoting is what goes. You certainly had speed cars and Grand Nationals up at Liverpool. As soon as you dropped the speed cars because of their political infighting, you brought compact speed cars in.
I think that's probably another era, with all due respect. As I said before, I enjoy my little fling with the sport. I have two great mates in Brian Healy and Bob Spence, who are the directors of this company. We have a very good guy, as a circuit manager, Stephen Green, who knows the inner workings and is a very good logistics guy. And one thing we don't want to do, we don't want Parramatta to get involved in political infighting. There is no reason in the world that any track in Australia, be it road racing or speedway, gets involved in political infighting. It's hard enough these days to put bums on seats at racetracks. So you don't want to be a member of this or a member of that or a member of this or a member of that. Forget all that. Just look after the fan. If the fan is happy and you are presenting what the fan wants to see, he will come back or she will come back next Saturday night. If you don't do that, you may as well turn the lights out.
And of course, for the people who have not been to Speedway for a long time, now's the perfect opportunity to come back and see how much more professional the whole aspect of Speedway racing is.
I that's very kind of you to say that, but I would like to think that if a few more promoters concentrated solely on looking after their local people rather than, and probably the emphasis today is on travelling, but a travelling ban can only beat your racetrack once, and then you've got another 28 meetings to run. You know, pity help you, unless you've got all your cards in order and know what you're running. The days of being able to pull a crowd for a monster truck or whatever else, I think that, you know, the quick buck makers have been in, they've run the monster trucks. Monster trucks have broken down, and it's been an overall embarrassment to everyone. So we have no monster truck meetings scheduled for this year. We have legit sprint car racing, we have a couple of demolition derbies, we have a 10,000 win demolition derby in January. But if you keep giving back, the public will come, providing you treat the public as genuine people who want to be entertained. If you treat them like idiots, be prepared to pay the penalty.
I think when you talk speedway racing to Europeans, they automatically think of bike racing. Mm. Is Parramatta now, with the new configurations that you've been putting in, able to cater for them?
Not entirely. Parramatta is built on its sprint car base. It has a clay track that is, very, very simply put, ideal for sprint car racing. For motorcycles to be seen here in their best element would need a change of track surface, and you could only do that at a time of the year where you're promoting sprint cars. So you've got a major problem there. With the planned Australia having a round of the World Grand Prix system at Stadium Australia, that is fine. The only difficulty that you have there, we ran a World Pairs Championship at Liverpool. Put out a lot of money to make it successful. I think we put out $94,400 and we took $94,800. So we made $400 on the thing. The last time solos were in Australia as a proper test team was at the Sydney Showground on January 1. That was the test match. They pulled a crowd of 4,200 people. Now, how are you going to take it from 4,200 to 40,000 people is a gargantuan leap. But anyway, good luck to all those that do. I think it'll be terrific, and I think probably Speedway needs to have a very viable motorcycle championship, but it needs to rebuild silos all over again. You can't do it with the four or five riders that we've got around Australia.
Do you feel that Speedway has been left behind with other motorsports going very professional and the obvious professionalism of the other motorsports? Do you feel Speedway has been lagging over the years?
Yep. I think what happened, we had a sport that was doing very, very well with sedans, and my advice to the sedans was to go and change body styles to Ford and Holden, because that's what the public wanted. I knew that through my years in television, where people were writing and calling and saying, look, we can't get enthusiastic about turbocharged Sierras representing the Ford mark in Australia, and watered down Holden's being the responsible car that we support. And unfortunately, what happened in Speedway is that a couple of people that were controlling it at the time try to get super sedan racing, which was a poor relation, I think, of Grand National racing. But rather than have the drivers on the left-hand side of the car, they put the drivers and made it compulsory for them to be on the right-hand side of the car. We have one of the very, very best Australian drivers in Grenville Anderson, who is now in a very, very bad way after coming into contact with a concrete wall in Brisbane. If he'd been sitting on the other side of the car, he wouldn't have had contact with a concrete wall. And I think that they lost their way, and they're political because they haven't been working. We've had a couple of meetings with the sedans here at Parramatta, and I've just said to forget all the previous problems that they've had, get into racing, and that's the only way you'll win the public back. But I think it needs them to rethink what they want to do and where they want to be, and they have to change their cars. They have to change their cars. If they don't change their cars, you'll be able to buy the parts very shortly.
Is it hard as a promoter knowing that you really have got one division that everyone wants to see, and that is sprint car racing? And as a promoter, I don't know personally whether you have a bent towards Grand Nationals, bent towards speed cars, compact speed cars, but is it very hard to organise a program when there's really only one division that can pull a crowd?
No, I think the bent of all promoters is to put on a successful meeting. We know that the speed cars have put on some tremendous racing. They've been here twice this season, and both their feature races have been outstanding. Now, speed cars probably need a bit of a crutch to get up on a big night and to pull people. What if you've got a demolition derby or something else on? They work for you. And sprint cars, other people just lie over and say, oh, well, all my top drivers are going to be away running because there's a World Series on or whatever. That's just crap. You get out, you promote the living daylights out of the category, you make new stars more appealing to the public, you introduce them, you bring them closer to the public at your racetrack by way of interviews or whatever, so that they are a part. And the fan goes home on a Saturday night knowing that he saw Kelly Linigan, or he saw whoever it may be, Robbie Farr or Kerry Madsen up close, got their autograph, bought a t-shirt, and taking five friends back to meet them in the pits next weekend. Well, of course that will happen. You just can't close your doors because some other section is seemingly stronger, and it needs every promoter to stop whinging about it and get off their backsides and get out and promote and do something, contribute something to the rulemaking that will make the divisions more appealing to the public. Because the promoter at the end of the day is the fellow that puts the show on and puts the money out. And if he has no say in it, it's wrong. But you also, at the same time, need more promoters with a little more common sense.
Mm. And finally, of course, you mentioned there what you did see at Channel 7, and it'd be safe to say that you dragged road racing in this country to go back to Ford and Holden kicking and screaming. How now do you look at it a little bit removed from what it's become?
I think it's terrific, but it was always going to do that. And the funny thing was, try to tell people that that's what they had to do, and some people believed in it, like Dick Johnson believed in it, and Alan Grice, and certainly I think at the time we were looking, Peter Brock believed in it. There are a lot of people that believed in what we were doing, and I was no clairvoyant. I was only doing what the public wanted, and they were telling us they were sick and tired of watching turbocharged Sierras run around this country representing Ford, and second-rate Holdens run round representing Commodore, and the cars themselves were junk. They were just awful. They might have worked in Europe, but Europe's got nothing to do with Australia. There's no European Touring Car Championship. There's no North American Touring Car Championship. And now they're talking about taking the V8s to Australia. But an old mate of mine in television, Bob Campbell, who was the managing director of the 7 Network, told me a long time ago, nothing is forever. And he was so right. And what they have to do now, they've got to be careful they haven't made touring cars too much like Formula One. And the danger signal is now that Shell have pulled out, and that was always going to happen because they're going to try and sell off the rights to each race for a bit more money and help the advertisers and help the broadcaster and whatever. They just have to make sure that they have plenty of passing. At the moment, I might be totally wrong, but bringing cars in on different laps until it all catches up again is not the way to do it.
Mm. All in all, into your first, 7 weeks now of racing back at Parramatta, how have you enjoyed that time?
I think it's been great, but as I say to everyone that says, oh yeah, it'll be terrific, another 10 years, but no, it's not. I have a wife I love, and I have a grown-up family, and the things I want to do, but having the directors, one that wanted to do this and go the extra step, put seats in, do everything else, and I think we've done everything else right. And people don't know you at first, they have a look at you, and then they take 7 or 8 weeks and they say, well, hang on, this fella's right, and they're bringing Kinser, and they've got 50,000 to win Classic, and they've got an Australian Championship, so they must be legit. Now that we've broken down a few political barricades, we'll get on with some more serious racing, and I think if I'm not here, someone else can. Steve Green is more than capable of doing it. But so far it's been pleasing, and the next couple of weeks will be even more pleasing.
Does Speedway in general need television to survive?
No. Strange thing is, it would be terrific if Speedway could survive with some television. There was Speedway back in the 60s on Channel 7 and certainly later on Channel 10. It would help. But what's happened in America with television is everyone thought, well, they've got television now, that'll succeed. The trouble was that they're running racing at dusty racetracks. They're running at ill-lit racetracks that barely you could see the cars. And the commentators, unfortunately, forgot about the sponsors of the cars. They're more interested in talking about themselves and how they pursued a race would go. If you've got television, television is a wonderful thing. It's like a woman, I suppose. It needs to be caressed, it needs to be told how lovely it is. And you need to tell the person watching the television screen, this is the X number of car, this is sponsored by whatever, and this is the driver, and you have a clean image of your sport. If you don't have a clean image of your sport, you're wasting your time, and that's what it needs. A rethink about TV, because at the moment, what they're thinking about TV, they've got wrong.
Mm-hmm. Most importantly, I guess the best advice you're going to give anyone is to get down here Saturday night right throughout summer and find out what Speedway's all about again.
Yes, I'm upset really that Speedway doesn't have a place in the ACT. It should have, because it was... even in the last year that Phil Christensen ran it at Fraser Park, he was able to bring the Steve Kinsers and the American sedan team and quite a number of other touring teams to Canberra. Canberra needs a very viable speedway that is operable to stimulate and bring people back to the racetrack, because it also has paid the penalty of maybe not having that.
Well, Mike, thanks very much for your time, and we look forward to seeing some more Spring Car action right throughout this summer.
Okay, Mr. Revelle.
Inside Motorsport is produced by Thunder Media in the studios of Triple S FM Canberra via Comrade Sat, with the support of the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia.